Anybody redeemed? Anybody know you are? I mean, anybody wish you were? How many of you know this is a no-so thing? Raise your hand if you know for sure that you're saved. Come on, real high. Praise God. Not ashamed of Jesus, right? Let's say it real loud. Ready? Redeemed in 2015. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. I will glorify God through my life. I rest in God's grace in full assurance that He is able to save others and meet my needs. God is building His body while reaching the wanderer, the weary, and the hurting. God is faithful, He is able, and He will do it. And He really will do it, won't He? He is so faithful to His word. Praise God. Praise God. If you'll take your prayer sheet in your hand and have it ready after we read the scripture, we're going to pray over this prayer sheet and the word at the same time. We're going to be praying for Brandon, who has surgery this week on the back of his head. We need to be praying for him. Surgery's on Wednesday morning. Also, Linda Brock needs a miracle from God, and so many others on the sheet. If you have requests, take the card in the pew in front of you, the seat in front of you, fill it out, turn it in so we can be agreeing with you. If today our message is gratitude is the attitude. Gratitude is the attitude. Living life, giving thanks. Living life, giving thanks. How many of you know Thanksgiving for the believer is more than one day of the year? Amen. Now we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. All men's mentioned quite a few times there. Then he says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not in some things, in everything, do what? Give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from some appearance, from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, what? Who also will do it. Hallelujah. Take your prayer sheet. Father, thank you today that, Lord, you are faithful to your word. That's why we need to be reading your word. That's why we need to be praying your word. That's why we need to be hearing the word preached and taught. That's why somehow we've got to get your word inside of us, because you will do what you said in your word you will do. Now, Father, as we move into this message today, thank you for speaking to our hearts and drawing us closer together to you, but closer to one another. God, we thank you for an anointing today, God, that breaks yokes, sets people free, but also deals with our hearts to become who you want us to be in you. And Father, as we lay hands on these requests today, we thank you for doing the miraculous. We believe, God, you're already doing something for Brandon, and we're asking you today and believing you to touch his head and his neck, and Lord, that the finger of God, Lord, would do what doctors can't do before he ever gets to the surgery, Lord. We ask you to do miracles in him, and we pray for miracle in Linda, God, that cancer will dry up and die to the very root, and once again, she'll be cancer-free in the name of Jesus. And we pray over all these other souls. So many, Lord, that we can't mention, but you know who they are because they've been given in faith. Thank you for miracles of healing and deliverance, and we give you praise because you're God and you'll do what you say you will do, and we trust you today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. You can be seated. Gratitude is the attitude. And by the way, don't you like the direct Thanksgiving decorations? Isn't this nice? Yeah, praise the Lord. It's really nice. And I want to thank the ladies for doing that, for Judy and Patty for doing that. And Christmas is coming up. And a lot of decorations are going to be done, but thank you so much. Gratitude is the attitude. Living life, giving thanks. Living life, giving thanks. I received this devotion, I believe it was yesterday, from Brother Kelly, or Friday, our district superintendent. It talks about the power of a thankful heart. And I want to read it to us this morning. says the book inspired, faith, that's the title of the book, Inspired Faith, includes a collogical story told of a man who found the barn. He found the barn where Satan stores the seeds he sows in the human heart. Those seeds include envy, greed, hatred, lust, and so on. The man noticed there were more seeds of discouragement than any other kind. He learned that those seeds were very hardy and very fruitful. They could be made to grow almost anywhere. The man was told that there was one place where the seeds of discouragement could not grow. The one place where the seeds of discouragement cannot grow is in the heart of a thankful person. Hallelujah. The application of that story is that when we choose a thankful attitude, our spirits resist the cynicism, discouragement, and pessimism that distracts, discourages, and weights us down. When we have a thankful attitude, we are better able to survive no matter what life throws at us. A thankful heart creates a powerful resistance to the negative and destructive things in life. Amen. The Apostle Paul declares in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This verse does not say give thanks for everything, but rather give thanks in everything. Happiness in life isn't about getting what you want all the time. It's about loving what you have and being thankful for it. A great prayer for today is to ask God to help us to have a thankful heart and a spirit of gratitude. I don't want any Satan sowing any seeds in my heart, do you? Hallelujah. Gratitude is the attitude. If we read verse 24 again, it says, "Faithful is he that promised you, that calleth you, who also will do it." And it's Jesus that's called us to salvation, and it's Jesus that will do the things in our life that we need to have done. So what that last verse that we read is really saying, something we've been saying for years around here, and it is, God is faithful. You can trust Him. And He is, isn't He? And you can trust Him. We need God's help as we apply and live out 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 24. When you read through it, it looks like some really nice verses, has some good truth in it. But if we really get into it, these verses can be a challenge to us. And we need God's help. Did you know that 18 days from today is Thanksgiving? Anybody ready? Our annual community Thanksgiving service is 14 days away from today, right here. You know, this time of the year should be a wonderful season of the year for families and for churches. Amen. Church families, but what about our connection to those outside the church? As well as connection within. Gratitude. Gratitude is the attitude. The word gratitude means a warm and friendly appreciation of a kindness or a favor received. It means thankfulness, gratefulness. Appreciation, thankfulness, gratefulness. How often should Christians express gratitude? All the time. Gratitude. Thanksgiving. I love the word Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, I had a big meal in Clinton at the church there after homecoming yesterday afternoon. Felt like it was Thanksgiving early. And so we like the food and we like the family and we like the fellowship and we should. But Thanksgiving really means grateful. Grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors. The act of giving thanks to God. We need to be thankful for everything that we have and every good gift that we have, because all the good gifts, according to Scripture, come to us from the Father. But we need to be giving thanks to Him. Amen? We need to be giving thanks to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 is God's command for every Christian. So I want to go back. There was at least a few of us that raised their hand and said, "I know I'm saved today. That means you're a Christian." Well, verse 14 is a command for all of us. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." Wow. It's God's command for every one of us. Verse 15 through 22 are the positive steps we're to take, making us able to do verse 14. Verse 23 and 24 reveals God's promise of peace and His commitment to set the believers apart for Himself. Verse 23 and 24 reveal His commitment to our spiritual well-being. So He's saying here, I've got something for you to do, church, in verse 14. Now, you can do this, but I want you to know, He also closes it out by saying, listen, but I've set you apart as mine. And because He set us apart as His, and Christ is in us, we can do this. So the first point says God's commands are good for us and for others. The Bible teaches that His commandments are never grievous. His commandments are always something we can live with. His commandments are always something that will help us and probably help somebody else. So God's commands are good for us, for you, and for me. When we obey God's word, we're setting ourselves up to be a positive influence in other people's lives. So obeying His word doesn't just help us, it helps somebody else. How many of you glad it helps you, change you, grows you? But when we obey His word, it helps somebody else as well. As believers, we are responsible to minister to each other. Brother Bracken, I thought that was your job. I'm supposed to train you to and help train you to do the ministry and minister to each other and minister and reach out to the world. We're responsible to minister to each other. Did anybody hear me say that? Amen. Six people. Say, come on, raise your hand if you heard me say it. Say it with me. We are responsible to minister to each other. And you don't have to be pastor to do that. But when you know Jesus, He commands us to do that. Wow. All Christians have four ongoing responsibilities to one another. First of all, He said, warn the unruly. Well, that's all of our jobs. He says, warn the unruly, the careless, the ones that are out of line, those that can't seem to get it together. Do you remember a time in your life as a Christian where you just couldn't get it together? Anybody besides me, you've been there, done that? Does anybody here know anyone now that they know Jesus, but they just can't seem to get their act together as far as being faithful and serving Him? The Bible says we're supposed to warn the people who can't seem to get it together. Hey, listen, I see you're struggling, but see, He says to warn them. See, for whatever reason, they've become lazy in their spiritual lives. We can become lazy. We can work hard on a job and be lazy spiritually. We can have all kinds of compliments about success in the world and be lazy spiritually and not be growing in God. See, when He talks about warning the unruly, see, it's a little bit different than when you hear unruly. You think about some wild person out there. But He's talking about people that have neglected their duties and need to be stirred up to action again. And in the body of Christ, over and over again, we have people throughout the body, and I've been there more than once, who need to be stirred up to action again. Amen. They've become careless in their Christian walk, or they've gotten out of line, not walking in step with what they know they should, for whatever reason, discouragement, disappointment. But there are some times you can just get simply lazy. Scripture says to warn them, but not in a condemning way, but out of genuine concern. We need to make them aware that, hey, that they're loved. People need to know we love them. People sitting around you need to know you love them. You need to know they love you. Amen? So even when He says to warn them, He says we warn them. We need to let them know they're loved. We need to let them know that they're needed. You mean every person in this church body is needed? Yes. And you can warn with firmness and gentleness. Can't we? So He says, warn the unruly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says the following, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So even in our warning, this is the kind of person we have to be. This is the kind of person we have to be. We have to be kind. Have you ever wanted to be anything but kind? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand on that one. See? tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Then he says, secondly, he says, comfort the feeble-minded. Again, he's talking about all of us today. And he says, comfort the feeble-minded. That means little-souled or faint-hearted. Comfort. Comfort means that we're to encourage the faint-hearted. Anybody here ever been faint-hearted? See, they need encouragement. The faint-hearted tend to become discouraged and despondent more easily than most. There's some people, you never know what they're going through. And will you allow me to use this expression? They can be going through hell on earth and you never know. Not that they're hiding it, but they've grown in the Lord and they know God's going to see them through and they don't tell everybody their problem. And then there's others of us, I mean, it shows. Come on, are you with me? If we're going through it, everybody knows. But when we know that, we don't need to condemn the person. There are some of us that get more easily discouraged than others. But we don't need to put the people down who get discouraged easily. I've been there. I know what it's like to get discouraged. I've had to grow, and I'm still growing. So if you're here today and you're easily discouraged, say, dear Lord, there's no hope for me. Yes, there is. That's what this message is about, letting you know that Jesus loves you, this church loves you, I love you, and there is hope. You can grow to where you're not so easily discouraged. If you're living there now, you won't be living there in the future. That's why he's saying to us that we need to comfort the feeble-minded. They need stirring up. They need stimulation to press on. Listen, even when you don't get discouraged easy, sometimes you still need people to spur you on and encourage you a little bit. The faint-hearted need extra help to live the Christian life. Well, if he was really saved, he'd be a whole lot further along than he is. Well, if you make that comment, you're not as far along as you think you are. Because when we begin to criticize, we're not as mature as we think we are. We've still got some work that needs to be done in our own life. And every now and then it still shows up in us. The feeble-minded need help to live the Christian life. The Bible says no man's an island and we don't need to try to live this life alone. Brother Brackett, I have Jesus and he's in my heart. But it sure is nice to have some people around you can touch and hear and feel and see. Not to take the place of our Lord. The feeble-hearted sometimes think about quitting or giving up when the going is tough. They need to hear the words, you can make it. You can make it. What's that song, this trial you're going through? God is going to see you through. And so we're to encourage the feeble-minded and let them know, listen, God's the same as he's always been. I love you. This church loves you. Listen, you can make it. And listen, I'm here, brother. I'm here, sister. Can I pray with you right now? What can I say? What can I do? Just be there. Amen. Because sometimes we go through stuff and you feel like, dear Lord, if this is the way life is, if this is the way Christian life is, and sometimes it's pastor, if this is what pastoring is, listen, somebody else can do it. And the Bible says each one of us has to encourage the feeble-minded. Don't put them down. Come on, hear me. Don't put them down. They don't need to be ridiculed. They need encouragement. You and I are to be there to encourage them if they will let us. We got to try. And let's not be so busy that we neglect our responsibilities. And it's easy to do. The third thing he says is support the weak. Again, he's speaking to Christians, and he says, support the weak. Those that are weak in faith, those that have not grown strong in the Lord, he says, help the weak. They've not learned to lean on the Lord as much as they should for their spiritual needs. I like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. I've had to learn to lean on Jesus. My flesh don't want me to lean on Jesus. Some haven't learned to lean on Him yet. Not like they should. They need strong support from other believers. Strength comes from Christian fellowship as well as from ministry of the Word. One of the things that made the New Testament strong was Christian fellowship. They continued in fellowship. They continued breaking bread. It sounds to me like they ate a whole lot more often in the New Testament together than we do today. But as they ate together, they talked about Jesus. They talked about His sacrifice. They talked about who He was. They talked about salvation. They talked about the power of God. And as they met together, they even talked about the Holy Spirit after being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But they came together, and fellowship is so important, and we need that. The weak need strong Christian examples to follow. And though some of us may be stronger, we can't boast that we are. We need to remind ourselves we've been where they are. And God's not finished with me yet. And I want to help them grow because I'm still growing. Because if any one of us ever thinks we've arrived, we haven't. Support the weak. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Lift up those hands that hang down. You ever get discouraged and get down? You ever been weak in your faith? You just lift up those hands, he says. Hebrews 12, 12 in the NLT says it this way. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. You mean I could make a difference in someone else becoming strong? If they're able to see that you made it through that thing. You didn't abandon your faith. You believed God through the hardship. You didn't criticize and whine and pout. You trusted God, and it was hard. Amen. And because I've seen your faith, that means I can do that too. I know the Bible says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, and we need to take Him at His word. But listen, we need examples of believers who are strong in faith, who can set the example so those that are just getting saved or just getting started can grow and become strong like some of us are. I'm trying to remember where I got this. Now, talk about the hands that hang down. It says, these verses radiate encouragement. Drooping arms and tired knees appear in people who are utterly exhausted. To lift the hands and to strengthen the knees demands a renewal of hope. Looking at Jesus and understanding God's purpose in discipline. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Looking at Jesus and understanding God's purpose and discipline invigorates people who have faced spiritual exhaustion. Discipline. How many of you have had to discipline yourself to be at church when you'd like to have stayed in bed? With new vigor, we can walk on straight paths. Spiritually, this demands we understand the beneficial effects of discipline. Pull ourselves together and move forward. If we do this, then those who are weak won't receive further spiritual injury. The entire community must experience renewed vigor to provide an example for the weak that's among us. Brother Bracken, how do you know we have weak among us? Because the Bible teaches. Listen, we're always going to have people that are weak in the church. I have been weak in a lot of things, and I'm sure weak in some areas now. But this is not something to condemn or criticize. He's saying the weak are going to be there. Now let's help them grow. Let's help them become strong. Let's be there for each other. And it's so easy to talk about it, but it's another thing to do it. Can you say amen to it today? And the reason is because we are so busy. Next thing he says is be patient with everyone. I can almost see some of you now saying, dear God, I almost had to say that when I read it, dear Lord. See, be patient with everyone. Who's he speaking to? Every one of the believers. Two of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is long-suffering and gentleness. Long-suffering means being patient and forbearing with people. Have you ever had to forbear with anybody? In other words, how many of you have had a hard time putting up with some people? They probably had a hard time putting up with you and me too. It takes time, and it takes patience to warn and work with those who can't seem to get it together. Be careful that we don't go around and say to them, I wish you'd grow up. That's not what they need to hear. Amen? It takes patience to continue encouraging those who are easily discouraged. I just got through sending them a Bible verses last week, with past 3 weeks, Brother Bracken. I've sent scripture and sent texts and tried to encourage, and they're still down in the dumps. Do your part. They have to pull themselves up and let God do His part. It takes patience to invest in those whose faith is weak. Patience. Luke 21:19 says the following. In your patience, you possess your souls. Whew. Well, anybody here say, Brother Bracken, I have to admit, I don't have the patience for some ministries that people would like to get me involved with. Anybody here say, there's some things I don't have patience for? Be honest with me. Anybody beside? Dear Lord, liar, liar. Patience. It's not easy to always have patience. But this is a command from Him. Leo Bracken, work on your patience. Be forbearing. Be long-suffering. Persevering when life is hard and it seems everything is against you is when strength and godly character is being built in our lives. Persevering. That means for our own life, we have to be patient. But we have to be patient with people we want to help. We have to be patient with people we want to see saved. We have to be patient with other believers for whatever reason we just have difficulty with. And we have to be patient with our children who we've prayed for and want to see them change. We have to be patient. To me, this is a powerful word this morning. He's speaking to me and to us. Being patient with others reveals spiritual strength and godly character. God, that's where I want to be, don't you? Some of you as leaders come talk to me about different situations or people that in your ministry or your team in years past, and that you had such a difficult time working with, but you kept working and you kept loving. And God kept working in them. Listen, you're not the Messiah, but the Messiah will use you and he will use me to help others who need strengthening and encouragement, but it's going to take patience. I almost said doggone it, but I won't. It's all right to be real, isn't it? The opposite of patience is retaliation. Retaliation is not an option for the Christian. What do you mean? We read it a few moments ago. We never have the right to repay wrong with wrong. He said, don't repay evil with evil. I'm going to read it again. Retaliation is not an option for the Christian. We never have the right to repay wrong with wrong. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Will you admit with me that you need help with that? I need help with that. Follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. You don't try to hurt someone because they hurt you. That's not God's way. That's not the Christian way. That's the world's way. That's the devil's way. That's the flesh way. Wow. In verse 15, the Holman New Testament commentary, Paul was concerned not only with relationships within the church, but relationships outside the church. He gave commandments for believers to behavior to each other and to everyone else. The payback rule is common. You get me, I'll get you. You shove me, you better be ready. Getting even, exacting our own sense of justice, is a strong human tendency. Jesus was different. He contradicted just about everything we naturally do. He often began his moral lessons with, "You have heard," and then he called for a change by following up with, "But I tell you." You've heard this, but let me tell you this. He brought a new way to life because he is the new way. Only as we abide in Christ and entrust our grievances, hardships, and the wrongs we've suffered to him can we live with this command. It is not natural, but it is possible. It marks a distinctive Christian approach to life. Paul detailed this approach by quoting Proverbs 25:22 in the book of Romans when he called us to live in peace, to not take revenge. He told us, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Then he added, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so Paul told the Thessalonians to be kind to each other and to everyone. So it's not just in the church. But it better be in the church. To everyone else. This means everyone both inside and outside the church. Gratitude is the attitude, or should be the attitude, of every believer that's following Jesus today. Number two, when preparing the heart, you are preparing for life. When you're preparing the heart, you're preparing for life. Verse 16 through 18 reveals inner attitudes that develop the attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Because he says, rejoice at all times. I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't feel like praising God today. I don't feel like singing those stupid songs. You ever been there, felt that way? He says, rejoice at all times. This is not a request. This is a command from God. That Leo Bracken needs to get hold of, that this church needs to get hold of, is rejoice at all times. Philippians 3:1. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you to be indeed is grievous, but for you it is safe. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say what? Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Joy. Don't let people, the devil, job, church, anything steal your joy. A Christian's joy does not come from his circumstances. His joy comes from the blessings that are his because he is in Jesus. The Christian who remains sad or in depression is missing God's commandment to rejoice. The scripture teaches that the joy of the Lord is my strength, is our strength. You choose to go ahead and rejoice when you don't feel like it. Developing a lifestyle of praising, rejoicing in the Lord is the key to an attitude of gratitude. Can you sing a song when you don't feel like singing a song? Can you have a genuine smile and a heart that's rejoicing when you're going through hard times in your life? I tell you, without Jesus, you sure can't, but with Him, you can. Is there anyone here who's going through a tough time right now, and yet you still have joy? Anybody? Anybody here that's going through a tough time, but you still have joy? Stand up. Anybody here, and maybe you're not going through a hard time, but you still have joy? Stand up. Joy. I'm talking about something man can't muster up that's there because of your relationship with Jesus. If you have joy, whether things are good or bad, rejoice when?
Always.
Always. Since he said always, and some of us are going through a hard time, why don't we just lift our hands and rejoice a moment right now so I can finish this message. Thank you, Jesus. Love you today. Rejoice in the God of our salvation. Thank you because you're our hope this morning. We love you today, God. Thank you for the joy of the Lord. We may not always be able to explain. We just know it's real because God is real. We know it's real because you're in our hearts, oh God. We know it's real not just because we read it, because it's a part of who we are and who Christ is inside of our lives. We rejoice today in the good times, and many of us standing are going through hard times, but Lord, we determine to rejoice today again and again and again. We give you praise and we give you honor. Come on, just rejoice one more time before you sit down. Thank you, God. It's not just in words. It's in my heart. It's in my heart because He's in my heart. You can be seated if you can. There's an old song, and I asked Jason if he knew it, and he said, never heard it. Must be really old. And here's the way it goes. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing and set your heart a-dancing too. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing and set your heart a-dancing too. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of God in our life. Jesus in us. Romans 8:28. We know by heart, many of us. Read it with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. when you accept Christ as your Savior, if you haven't done that yet, when you do, you step into that place to where God begins to work everything for your good. As a believer, in the good in the heart, the difficult, the trying times, do you believe that verse? I don't like what life throws at me. I don't like some of the things we have to go through. There's people sitting here today that are struggling because of family situations. But you know that you've been called to salvation by Jesus Himself. And He said, if we love Him, and we know we're called according to His purpose, then listen. And that don't mean called to preach and stand behind the pulpit. That means being called to know Jesus and to be born again. And when you are, He works all things to your good. So if we believe that verse, then we can't help but rejoice always. Amen. That verse says, listen, you can do this. God is faithful. You can praise Him no matter what. There are some things you just don't know when you're that you just know when you are in Jesus and He's in you. All things means regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of what's going on around us, the Lord is at work on my behalf. The Lord is at work on your behalf. Sometimes, Brother Bracken, it just seems like He's not working at all. But He is. You have to believe He's working on your behalf. That alone is reason for rejoicing. Will you stand as we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 as we draw to a close today. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. Rejoice evermore. We didn't get to this part, did we? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Quench not the Spirit. Let God work in your life. Don't despise prophesying or when the word preached or being taught or being spoken. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. We need a lot of good today, don't we? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Just don't go there if you know it's wrong, if it looks wrong. And the very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart. The God of peace set you apart for Him and apart from the world. Sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that's called you, and He will do it. How many of you know He called you to salvation? Holy Spirit dealt with your heart, and He spoke to you until you finally said yes. And everything God says in His Word that He will do for you, He will do. Everything that He says He'll do through you, if you will allow Him and I'll allow Him, He will do.